You may remember from 5 weeks ago when I last preached that I was having some trials right before I was going to preach on trials. And actually, earlier in this week, I was a little bit tempted, and I was thinking I was going to be embarrassed because there wasn't really a good resolution to that trial. What happened was my car's timing belt broke, and there was a $3,600 repair I needed to fix it, and the car was already 150,000 miles old, and it was not looking like we wanted to repair it. So there was no real resolution. But I triumphantly claimed victory up here and believed God would bless us because He loves those, or He works all things for the good of those who love Him or are called according to His purpose. For the last 5 weeks or so, a friend loaned us a car, and that was really great. Thank you, Stan. But earlier this week, I was tempted, thinking I was going to be embarrassed because I wouldn't have any good news for you this morning. Well, my parents came down this week, the last 3 days, for Olivia's first birthday, which is really fun. We went to Walt Disney World and just had a blast, did all kinds of things, lots of singing and dancing and food. It was wonderful. Well, my parents had actually, right before they came down, they had planned to give me my mom's car. Which is a very nice car. It's a lot classier than our previous car, and it's got a whole lot less miles, about 50,000, 100,000 less. So we have a new car. God did take care of us. No cost whatsoever. And that's very exciting. And so thank you, Mom and Dad. And then praise God for work that He worked it out for us. And I don't know what battle you're in, but I know you're in a battle. I don't know what it is, but I know it's tough. Mine was solved from this past week, but I've got a new one coming up this week that I'm already working on. And so if you're facing, I want to encourage you that if you're facing temptation in the midst of your battle, you are probably on the 1 yard line. It's first and goal, and you're on the 1 yard line. Don't give up. Just stick close to God through that temptation. Flee that temptation. And I mean, as you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. So, okay, so we're going to jump right into James. James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Think of someone that you consider wise. Maybe you're picturing someone that's smart, someone that's older, someone that's got a lot of worldly experience. That would not be correct. That's not biblical wisdom necessarily. Wisdom and knowledge are different. And to give you some examples, knowledge is in the head, wisdom is in the heart. Knowledge, you need knowledge to build a house, but wisdom to build a home. You need knowledge to build the Titanic, but wisdom keeps it away from the icebergs. You can be knowledgeable about the Bible, but wisdom walks with God. Continuing on, it says, wisdom is shown by their good life. You don't look at head knowledge. You look for a good life. Look for someone living a good, godly life. You look by their deeds. The world should see that we are Christian by our deeds, not by the cross on our neck. Yeah. Acts of love, acts of kindness, forgiveness, help, charitable giving, done in humility. That comes from wisdom, not for recognition. Jesus said, "If you do things as a show for man, that." And he praises you and says, "Oh, you're so righteous, you're so, who?" Mike, you want to help him? We're coming up on needing it. So Jesus said that if you do things outwardly, if you fast and you show it's clear and you make yourself look like you're dying, and people say, "Oh, wow, he's so righteous, such a religious man," then that is your reward. It's them believing that you're a religious man. But if you act humbly, if you do things humbly, you will receive a reward from God. And that reward is much greater than man's reward. Continuing on, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, the wrong kind of wisdom, worldly wisdom, we're going to call it, does not come down from heaven. And this is why I like James. He's very direct. But it's earthly, spiritual, and it's of the devil. Okay? For where you have envy and selfish ambition or worldly wisdom, There you find disorder and every evil practice. Now think about your life. Not who you are this morning, not here. Everybody's pretty on Sunday. Everybody's smiley on Sunday. Everybody's nice to everybody on Sunday. But think about your life at home. Think about your life in your different relationships or when you're alone. Is there disorder? Is there every evil practice? Or are there evil practices? In church, we have a problem sometimes where we think that if we just believe but we don't change, that that's enough. That's not enough. That needs to change. If you haven't made a change in a while, then you're a perfect candidate for more wisdom, which is a really nice way of saying you're being foolish and you need to change. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, back on the scripture, sorry, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Those are the products of godly wisdom. We're going to talk about those a little bit later. Remember those. And then finally, the end of this passage is, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Doing good over there. As many as you can do. More and more... So let's talk about earthly wisdom for a second. Worldly wisdom. More and more Christians are embracing worldly wisdom. And that's a problem. We need to watch out for it. This new thinking is messing people up. There's disorder and every evil practice in this worldly wisdom. The world says that a lot of people in the world says that we were made from rocks, and in talking to some of those people, they're quite dense, and I would sometimes agree with them. And they sometimes say we come from animals, and they act like animals. This is not how the people of God should be. That is disorderly, every evil practice. You can stop, guys. Thank you. So, another piece of worldly wisdom is they look at nature or the universe and consider it all random. So we have here dominoes set up by thank you Jacob and Mike. Which would you rather look at? Which is beautiful to you? A mess that we usually try to clean up, get rid of, try to hide in at our houses sometimes. Or something that's systematic, something that's beautiful, something that clearly has a creator's hands, creator's touch to it. I think it's foolish. It's worldly wisdom to even begin to believe that it's all random, that the beauty of the universe, the beauty of nature is randomly put together. That's ludicrous. There's a way that the Bible, in Proverbs 14:12, it says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. And that's the product of saying we're all just made out of random molecules that got together by lightning or whatever the current popular science belief is now regarding that. I mean, that leads to death. I mean, nobody has any respect for life, for themselves, for the unborn, things like that. Your first blank, it says, it is worldly. That's our first tenet of wisdom. It's worldly. Sorry, worldly wisdom is that it's worldly. We need to draw a line at where we let the world influence us as Christians. In music, in movies, on the internet, we need to guard ourselves. If you don't, you'll begin to believe it. I guarantee it. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I can always tell when one of my youth is watching MTV a little bit too much, or at all, or listening a little bit too much to their friends. They come up with the most ridiculous, meaningless causes that they think are important, that matter to essentially no one. And I'm not going to pick on anyone, but how about we pick a cause that actually matters? Since I started this message, approximately 10 kids across the world have died of starvation. Or we could maybe fight for the 56 million babies that didn't get life over the past 30 years. This world is full, this world will fall and as its wisdom plays out. It can't avoid destruction. It will self-destruct. Take any worldly activity and take it to its end, and you'll find broken lives, broken hearts, and often broken bodies. Your next blank is, it is sensual. Worldly wisdom is sensual. Titus 3:3 says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. This describes the feeling mantra that has popped up in our culture. If it feels good, do it. Let me tell you, your feelings are wicked and will deceive you. They will enslave you. We live by principles. Principles as found in the Word of God. Not by just whatever our body tells us to do at any one time. Your next blank is, it is demonic. In John 8:44, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and all that is false. Worldly wisdom is a lie that comes straight from hell. And I'm seeing more and more, it's rampant, that white lies are okay. They're okay. It's just a little lie. It's not about anything that's really going to hurt anybody. It's not going to change anybody's life. But it's a gateway drug, we'll say. It's a gateway to a lot more deception. And you can always bet on. I find it funny when someone offers to lie for me. If I'm in a sticky situation, someone offers to lie for me. I learned long ago that anyone that's willing to lie for you will lie to you. And every time someone offers, I go, uh-oh. What have they been lying to me about? Wisdom from above, though. Not worldly wisdom. Wisdom from above. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Firstly, your first blank, it says, it springs up from godly principles. 1 John 3:3. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. We find godly principles in the Word of God. We find godly principles in the words of Jesus, in Proverbs, in Psalms. We find it all over Scripture. This is why we need to be in our Bibles daily, so we can get those principles inside, so we can have that godly wisdom start to, that seed planted and start to form and bud and hopefully grow into fruit. Second, it acts with godly motives. Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, and if any tenderness and compassion, and I want to stop there. This is starting off with saying, if you find any value to being in the body of Christ, and it names all these values that you're encouraged and loved and sharing in common spirit, tenderness, compassion, if you find value in being in the body of Christ, then it goes on to say, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. It gives us this long list of things that we should strive for. This is godly wisdom. Doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Back to the that scripture in James 3, where it gave us the products of godly wisdom. More things you can add to that list you just got. Pure. Godly wisdom is pure. It's not perfect. We've all sinned, but purely desiring to follow God completely. That is our objective. That's our goal. Purely attempt. Every day, wake up, meet with him, hang out with him. Read your word. Attempt to be pure and follow him purely. Next, peace loving. Even in your home, there's a place for fighting. There's a place for arguments. You have to communicate and get things out, and sometimes that's not so pretty. There's a place for that. But peace loving. If it happens all the time, get help. Join our marriage group with Mike and Lelaine. Join the life group. That's what the small groups are about. They're there to help us work these issues out of our lives. Godly wisdom. Next, it says, be considerate. Every person you meet is going through a battle that you know nothing about. Consider that before passing judgment. If someone cuts you off in traffic, maybe they're in a hurry because they just got a call from the hospital. Their kid's in the hospital and is dying. I mean, there's all kinds of explanations for why people might offend you or might hurt you. Be sensitive to that. Understand they're going through something that they might also be going through something tough like you. Submissive, that means doesn't fight the boss or authorities that God has placed in your life. Full of mercy. Forgives even when it's not deserved. You also were forgiven even when it was not deserved. The Bible says that Christ died for us even before we were born, knowing that sin was coming, he planned to die for us. He went to that cross, was miserable, was beaten, was broken, was bruised because of our sin, because of our worldly wisdom that we sometimes seek. Good fruit. Have you compared yourself to the fruit of the Spirit lately? Third blank, real quick. Let's move on. It is intent on serving godly purposes. We're called to be peacemakers. Peace not only in the sense of a fight or war, but peace for the inner man too. So wherever we go, we should be a light to whomever we are around. If we see fighting between two groups, through wisdom we help them resolve it, bring resolution and peace. But also, if we see someone with internal struggle, depression, any kind of pain, there's all this cutting going on in the youth that we see today. Bring peace to their lives through encouragement, through scripture, through any number of godly tools you have in your arsenal. We go to help. We bring that inner peace. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way that let your light shine before others, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If you've been a Christian for a while, you really shouldn't be struggling the way that you used to. You need to let God do the work he wants to do so you can get on track with the mission. And be Jesus to the broken people. For some reason, God decided that we are to introduce him to other people. That's a little backwards, I think. He's the one with the power. He's the one that's perfect. He's the one that's awesome. But he chose us to introduce him to other people. And that's your mission. That's what you're called to do. And this is where life group comes in that Pastor was talking about. We all have issues. Pretend, think about the eclipse of the sun, the way the moon eclipses the sun, a solar eclipse. The moon is 400, sorry, the sun has a diameter that's 400 times greater than the moon. And yet it's 400 times farther away from us than the moon is. Because of that relationship, they both are approximately the same size. So when the moon passes over, it blocks it out. Even though the sun is 72 million times the size of the sun, you could fit 72 moons inside of the sun, the moon can block out the sun. Your mission is like the sun. Your mission in life is like the sun. It is that big. It is that huge. It's that awesome. It's that amazing. God has destined you for something incredible. He wants to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. He wants to say that to you one day. But because our issues are closer to us, like the moon is closer to the earth, because our issues are closer to us, they'll block that out. They'll block that mission out. And we won't know what our mission is. And so life group aims to pull those issues out, to call them out, to remove that darkness so that now the sun is fully there. And we can see exactly what we're called. If you don't have a vision for your life, you don't have a mission, if you don't know what you're called to do, that's where life group will help tremendously. It'll hopefully pull that moon out of the way that's eclipsing that vision, because you're blurry maybe. And we all have times where we're blurry on that vision. But it'll pull that out of the way. So I strongly encourage everyone to do that. It's 12, 13 weeks, but it's going to be amazing. I'm going to be part of it. I know I'm going to get a lot of things released out of my life through it, and I'm so excited about it. James 1:5. So now we're on getting wisdom. Okay, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This is how you get wisdom. We do not possess the ability to gain godly wisdom in and of ourselves because of our fallen nature, because he is so great and we are so small. So we have to ask him, and he has to give it to us. I enjoy thinking about the paradoxes of God. I think it's phenomenal. So it's a leader who died on a cross for his people. What sense does that make? What worldly sense does that make? None. The leader, he can't lead anymore if he's dead. Leader dying on a cross for his people. A king born in a manger, which I don't know if you know, but it's a feeding trough for cattle and sheep. The creator becoming the created. The author, the source and sustainer of life, facing death. The sinless one, taking the sins of the world, all of them. The Father forsaking the Son for the sake of a rebellious and sinful people. None of this makes any sense. It would never make any sense to us. This is all paradoxical to us because the true wisdom that we'll find out one day in heaven, it'll all make sense. There we go. Oh, that's right. Leaders are supposed to be serving. None of it makes sense until God reveals it to us because we live in this fallen world with worldly wisdom that's so backwards. Is it God who's upside down or us? I would say it's certainly us. The wisest decision I ever made was to give my life to God. The wise decision I make each day is to spend time with God. As you spend time with God, he rubs off on you. It's a half hour or so, hour in the morning, he rubs off on you. His spirit rubs off on you. And you walk your whole day with that godly wisdom. Next blank real quick. Knowledge comes from education. Wisdom comes from God. In Colossians 2:2, it says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So once again, you lack the ability to gain godly wisdom. You have to go to God for that. And there's another thing that you must ask God. Another thing you must go to God for. Remember a second ago, I was talking about the moon eclipsing the sun. Likewise, sin eclipses his presence from our life. If you feel like your life is full of darkness, light actually has a special property where anything that's blocking it, it will hit and bend around. Mike will tell you the name of that if you ask him later. But light will hit it and then bend around it. And that's actually what's happening here. This is a total solar eclipse. The light of the sun is hitting the moon and then bending around it, and that's what we see. Sure, there may be a little bit of actual sun showing, but generally that's what's happening right there. That's why you see so much more sun than would normally be there. It's a kind of an optical illusion. So light is that special property. It bends around whatever blocks it. God is there, and his hand is outstretched, and he wants to know if you'll take his hand today. God is love. God has a place set apart for you in heaven where he wants you to spend eternity with him, with this loving, perfect, amazing Father. But we've all sinned. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that displeases God or breaks his laws. It's lying, even a white lie. It's cheating. It's stealing. All of us have sinned, myself included. Because of that, we are separated from God for eternity. But he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross to take that sin off of us. The Bible says that the sins of the land will be taken off of the land if a king hangs on a tree. The king is hung on a tree. So the king of the earth was hung on a tree, and the sins of the land were placed upon him. And he was cursed for us. And then he died, went into the grave. He rose again from the dead, now sits at the right hand of the Father. And if you believe all that, you're afforded the right to become the child of God, the Bible says in John 1. It says you're given the right to become a child of God. It's not about I need to get my sins in order. It's not that I need to stop sinning. It's not that I need to get rid of this friend yet. It's if you believe that, you're given the right to become a child of God. The only thing left is to confess his name as Lord. If you do that, you will be saved, the Bible says. Let's all bow our heads real quick. Father, I thank you for this crowd here, and I thank you that your presence is here. I thank you for your Holy Spirit changing hearts right now. If anyone feels as if they want to change their eternal destination from hell to heaven, if anyone feels that they want to have a close relationship with their Creator, their Heavenly Father, please raise your hand real quick, just so I can see. No one's going to look at you. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Thank you. Nothing to be concerned about. We're not going to attack you after the service. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Let's all pray this prayer real quick and help them out. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that despite our sin, you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Thank you that by your power he was raised from the dead. And I ask that you please forgive me. Remove my sins from me. Cleanse me and make me whole. Make me right with you once again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.